This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Chaf Mishnah Hey. The previous Mishnah we learned, if someone took an animal trough and attached it to a wall, the animal trough maintains its identity as a halacha kli that is mekabel tumah. We do not say that since it's now physically attached to a structure that's attached to the ground, that it should share the status of the ground and not be mekabel tumah. Rather, since the animal trough began with the status of a kli, it doesn't lose that status by being attached to the ground as long as the trough is still usable as a trough. Our Mishnah applies this teaching to another case. The Mishnah says, regarding kofes shekevo benidbach, a block of wood that one carved into a seat. So the point is, this block of wood is shaped such that one could sit down on it, and one placed this seat-shaped block of wood on top of a row of bricks, on top of a wall. The Mishnah says, if kevo velo bono olav, even if he permanently attached the wooden seat to the top of the wall, but didn't add another layer of bricks on top of the seat, and thus one is still able to use the seat, it can climb up and sit down on the seat on top of the wall. Or if bono olav velo kevo, or let's say the reverse, he did actually add more layers of bricks on top of the wooden seat, but he did not permanently affix the seat to the wall. So for example, he wanted to make a space in the shape of an arch in the middle of the wall. So how does he accomplish that? He takes this block of wood that could work as a seat, but also, let's say, is the shape of an arch, and he places on top of the row of bricks and continues to add more rows of bricks. But the plan is to then remove the block of wood, leaving the arch in the wall. The Mishnah rules, in both of these cases, Tamei, the wooden seat retains its status as a halacha kli, and therefore it is susceptible to Tumah. The first case is a straightforward application of the teaching of the previous Mishnah. That is, true, he went and permanently attached this wooden seat to the wall, which is attached to the ground, but since the wooden seat had a status of a kli before he added it to the wall, and even after he added it to the wall, he could still use it. It still works as a seat. He can go up and sit there. It therefore maintains its identity as a seat, as a halacha kli. Therefore, it remains susceptible to tumah. And in the second case, although practically, of course, after adding more layers of bricks, you can't actually use the seat anymore, but since the intention is to remove the seat from the wall, it's not staying there permanently. It's considered a separate and distinct entity, and therefore continues to be susceptible to Tumah, and since it's a seat, it's susceptible to Tumas Midras. Therefore, if a Zav were to sit on top of the wall, the chair would have Tumas Midras because it is partially supporting the Zav on top. The Mishnah says, if, however, Kiva'o Ubanalav, the person not only permanently affixed the wooden seat to the wall, but also built, added more wall, more rows of bricks on top of it, Tahar. Then the wooden seat no longer be susceptible to tumah, for since in number one you can't use the seat anymore as a seat, and number two, it's now a permanent part of the wall. Halachically, it's considered part of the wall, and so it, just like the rest of the wall, is not susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah discusses a similar case. The Mishnah says regarding mapatz shenosno agabe akaros, a mat made of reeds, so that's something that by itself is mekabel tumah. Tumas Midras, because it's meant for resting on. Mishnah says, let's say somebody placed some reed mats above the ceiling beams of a house. And the mats are essentially the beginnings of not only completing the ceiling, but also of the floor of the upper story. Now, after the mats were placed above the ceiling beams, they would then put slats of wood and fill that with a mixture of plaster and pebbles, whatever else they would put there to form the floor of the upper story. The Mishnah says, if kiva'o v'lo nasan alav es maziva, even if the mat was permanently affixed to the beams with nails, but if they didn't yet add the aforementioned layer of plaster over the mat, or the reverse, nasan alav es maziva v'lo kiva'o, they added the layer of plaster, but the mats were not nailed into the ceiling beams, in both of these cases, tameh. The reed mat continues to be susceptible to tumah. It retains its halachically status. In the first case, because even though it's been permanently attached to a structure that's attached to the ground, but you could still use the mat itself. You could lie on the mat from the upper story. It's still exposed to that upper story. So since it could still function as a mat, something you could rest it directly on, it continues to be a makabel tuma. In the second case, even though you can no longer use the mat in the current situation because there's a layer of plaster over it, but since it wasn't nailed into the ceiling beams, and so it's relatively easy to remove the mat, it's still considered a separate entity, continues to be its own kli that's makabel tuma. The Mishnah says, if, however, kiva'o v'nosan olavesa maziva, you not only nailed the mat to the beams, but also added plaster above it, tahar. At that point, the mat loses its own identity. It's now merged with the rest of the structure of the house. And since it's now part of something that's mechubel lekarka, it is no longer susceptible to tumah. Another similar case, the Mishnah says, regarding ka'ara shekiva b'shida teva umigdal, a plate that was attached to a very large chest or a money changer's box or cabinet, that is, the shida teva umigdal could hold at least 40 sun. Therefore, the chest, box, or cabinet itself is not susceptible to tuma, as we learned in Perek Tesvav Mishnah Aleph. So here we have this plate, which when it was by itself, it was mekabel tuma. It's now attached to something, which is not mekabel tuma. The Mishnah says, kederech kabalasa, if the plate was attached right side up, so you could still use it, even though it's now attached to this very large wooden utensil, tumea, it continues to be susceptible to tuma. For here as well, it retains its identity, being that you're still able to use the plate. Shelo kederech kabalasa, but if the plate was attached upside down, so that you can't use the plate anymore, tahora, it then is no longer susceptible to tuma. In this case, it loses its own identity. It's now simply a part of this shida teva migdal, which itself is not susceptible to tumas. Neither is the attached plate.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.